Okay, Rabbosai, today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. On its way to the Beis HaMikdash is daf Chof Aleph, and we're holding on daf Chof Omud Beis right there at the bottom. And because Richie has been so wonderful and has been waiting with such excitement and hasn't even looked up once to see whether Doc was on his tail, I think we should ask him to give us an intro. Wow. Oh. No, it was beautiful. Ze omer zektav yadi, vzektav yado shel chaveri. Ze omer zektav yadi, vzektav yado shel chaveri. So we've been talking about Edim that are coming in to be Mekayim Ashtar. And while they're being Mekayim the Shtar, we never exactly defined what it was that they were saying to be Mekayim Ashtar. But in any event, we talked about all of the cases. What if they add things? What if they say there was a T'nai? What if they say, but we were kids? What if they say we were butts? So on and so forth. Now we're getting down in classic backward fashion where, oh, by the way, you know what we meant when we said Kiyam, because this was the Derech, remember, which we always assume the idea. And then as we go on, we go down to the issues that were assumed and re-examine them. So what exactly do we mean by Kiyum Hashtar? Now, there's two ways of looking at Kiyum Hashtar, my dear gentlemen. And that is, in the one sense, we could say, they're no different than anybody else. And basically, all that they're doing is being made that the signatures were not forged. Yes, I recognize this signature, and it's my signature. Now, let me ask you something. Suppose these guys say, I don't remember a darn thing about the Shtar. Can't say that I remember a bit, but this is definitely my signature, so I guess it must have been there, but it's been like 90 years, so I can't really tell you for sure. So, I mean, is that considered to be a Kiyum Hashtar? If the Shtar exists as an independent entity, which, so to speak, is testifying, and that's the way that Chazal were koveyed the dinim of the Shtar, particularly according to the Rambam, remember, who holds that the whole concept of Shtar could only be a Darabonim, because anyway it would be a violation of Mipiyem, velo Mipiktavam. So then we don't really care, because the Shtar stands on its own. So all they have to do is say, this is definitely my signature. But what about in the event that we understand that if someone else comes along and says this is definitely their signature, so then we're dealing with the Shtar qua Shtar. But if we're dealing with the people who are actually signed on the Shtar, then for them to say, well, this is definitely my signature, but I don't remember a bit of this, is ridiculous. Because since they themselves are the Edim, if they cannot be made, so then they cannot possibly say that this is a good Shtar, because now they're saying, I don't remember such a thing ever happening. Which means that what Kiyum Hashtar would mean in the event that the actual people who are signed on it are Mekayim it, it would mean only that they are reiterating the testimony that is included in the Shtar. And therefore, since we have the very witnesses that are signed and they are here testifying in Beis Din to the fact that what it says here is correct, then we say, okay, so then the Shtar definitely reflects what it is that they said and signed on. But they cannot simply look at a piece of paper and say, well, yeah, this is my signature. Well, do you remember this? No, but who cares? It's my signature, isn't it? Because that is not a Kiyum of a Shtar. That's a dis-Kiyum of a Shtar. Anyway, those two things, those two approaches have a technical name. Gavi, please write down the technical name for your still missing chavrusa. So the technical name is, on the one hand, if they're talking about the contents, then we call it amone shebishtar em chotmim. What they are emeidim, what they are made on, is the contents of the shtar, not the signature as a separate issue, which they could pretend they know nothing about the shtar. The other approach is, al chatimat yedeyem emeidim, they're no different than anybody else. Now take a look how this Mishnah reflects essentially those two approaches. So ze omer zektav yadi v'zektav yado shel chaveri, v'ze omer zektav yadi v'zektav yado shel chaveri, harei elu ne'emanim. So if each one recognizes not only his own signature, but recognizes the other aid's signature, So then basically we have two edim on each signature. If, however, Zeomer Zektav Yadi, Vizeomer Zektav Yadi, but what if each witness says, this is my signature? Then we need another person to come along who recognizes both signatures, or two people recognize the signature, and that way we'll have two edim on each signature. So says Rebbe. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, they do not need anybody else, because each witness is basically confirming what it is that he said, not that this is his signature. Aha! Therefore, says the Gemara, Kishatimtse Lomar. Remember, the words Kishatimtse Lomar means that when you get to the bottom of the issues and you finally understand what's going on here, the thing that you're going to have to say is that according to Rebbe, the testimony is about the actual Ktav Yad, in which case you need two witnesses for each Chatima. And the fact that it's my signature doesn't change a darn thing. I'm just like anybody else, and I need to have another guy with me to confirm that this is my signature, so that now we have two witnesses on each signature. Whereas the Chachomim are saying, no, they are reiterating their original edus, and we view that as therefore saying the shtar is good, because after all, we now know that we have two witnesses, and we don't need to worry about, is it their Chatimat Yad? We have the actual edut. And that would be the machloket. Well, it says the Gemara Pshita. I mean, obviously, I mean, if you think about it, what the heck else could they be arguing about? It's clear if the Chachomim say you don't need two witnesses on each signature, that we are not coming to be Mekayim the signature. So there you have it. What is your Chiddush over here? Now note, gentlemen, that there is a bit of a problem here. Because the kiyum of the shtar, remember what a shtar adds. Suppose we have the witnesses, right? You'd say, well, having witnesses is even better than having a shtar, right? So if I come to court and I bring the witnesses, and now nobody can argue, they can't say it was a fake shtar, they can't say anything. So I'm in better shape. But I'm not. And the reason I'm not in better shape is because when I come along and I find out that the guy has no money and has no property, I then ask him, well, what happened to the field that you used to have? I mean, I wouldn't have lent you money if there weren't any backup. Oh, I sold that. Well, I say, who'd you sell it to? And then I go and I sue that guy to take his field away because of my pre-existing lien. Says the guy to me, show me the contract of your pre-existing lien. Says smart alecky me, I don't need a contract. I have actual witnesses. The man goes laughing all the way to the bank because he says, witnesses, how am I supposed to know about this sale? You know that the Chachomim made a takana that unless you can do a title search, which is only possible when there's a contract that's registered, so then I have a call and I can protect myself. I had no way of knowing when I gave my money to that fellow that you lent money to, that he had borrowed that money. You don't have a contract. Therefore, the edim do not take the place of a contract, you see? So then if that's the case, if the edim come along, and now according to the Chachomim, what they're really doing is not affirming the contract per se, but they're affirming the event, what happened to the contract? Why can't the guy still say, I don't care if you got witnesses. You've got to be the holder of a valid contract. And all you're doing is bringing witnesses that the event happened. But that's not good enough for me. I need a contract that would create a call. So there's something fishy about what the Rabbanan are saying over here, right? That it's Amonah Shebishtar HaMe'idim. Now, obviously, it's not crazy. Because, I mean, basically what they would be saying is, that if we can confirm the event with the edim that are signed ostensibly on the shtar, then we don't have to worry about it. I come off it. We know that it happened. We know we have a written shtar. Don't give me the business that the shtar was fake. This witnesses are right here. I understand how that works. But if you think about the technicality of what exactly a shtar is, then you must admit that Rebbe makes more sense. Because Rebbe says, look, let's talk about the shtar qua shtar. I'm not interested in the event because I'm coming to collect with the shtar. The reason that I'm talking this out to you is because later on the Gemara is going to entertain the possibility that because Rebbe makes more sense, we would paskin like Rebbe against the Chachamim over here, even though normally we say that the halacha is like Rebbe only when he argues with an individual, but not when he argues with a rabbin. But that klal does not obtain in cases where mistaber taima shel Rebbe, I might think. And since over here Rebbe makes more sense, maybe we ought to paskin like Rebbe. Okay, that's what the issue about the special nature of this particular psak is. Now, so let's get back to the Gemara. Second line on Daf Chaf Aleph. Says the Gemara, well, isn't that obvious? No, not necessarily. Because Ma'od Etem L'Rebbe Svukim Esapkele. Maybe Rebbe said that if I have two witnesses about my Chatima, that's good enough. But maybe it really Rebbe's not sure that that's the only thing to do. Is it the halacha that they are actually being made aktav yadam, or is it actually that they're being made on the mona shebishtar? And he's just being machmir, and he's saying, well, you can't rely on the fact that they say it happened, because we need the kiyum of the shtar. So therefore he's being machmir. So you say, okay, so what's a nafkamina? Oh, there's a very big nafkamina. It's an ingenious nafkamina. The nafkamina is like this. Let's say one of the witnesses who had signed had died, right? And now he's the living one is coming along and saying, this is my signature, and this is the signature of the guy that was with me. Now we're going to come along, and we're going to bring someone else to take the place of the deceased other aide. So now the question is, if Rebbe isn't sure, then he's going to need two separate aidim in Ashuk to be made. Why? Because since he's not sure, then what would happen is, if the halakha is really like the Rabbana, and the din is that they're being made almana shebishtar, think about what's happening. The one witness, when he says, this is my signature, cannot really say, this is my signature, because there's no such din. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe really the acceptance of his saying, this is my signature, is only because he's being made almana shebishtar. This is a subtle point, so please listen carefully. So if the halacha is, and Rebbe says, I don't know, I mean, I need to worry about this. If the halacha is that the real reason that we're accepting his testimony about his own chatima is because we're not thinking about the chatima, we're thinking about the content, like the Chachomim said. Now think about what happens. When the one who is alive says, this is my signature, what that really means is he is saying, this event took place. I'm confirming. Okay, that takes care of half of the necessary aidus. Now we get to the other part. That aid is dead. He can no longer say that this is the event. So what do we do then? Well, the only thing that we could do is have two witnesses to say that this is his signature, and then we can rely on the signature. So, okay, we have two witnesses. There's the living witness, and there's one other guy from the shuk who says, yeah, I recognize his signature. That's fine, right? Wrong. Because if you analyze then the percentage of the information that we're utilizing in order to be Mekayim the Shtar, it goes like this. When the first living witness says that this is my signature, he's not really talking about his signature. He's talking about the event. That means that 50% of the information regarding the usefulness of the shtar comes from him. When he now is mitzarif with one other person to be made on the signature of the deceased aide, another 25% is coming from him. Because we're going to be mekayim that signature on the basis of his testimony together with the person min hashuk. Total information percentage based on the living aide is... Even Richie can give us that answer. Come on, Richie. Exercise that old brain of yours. I mean, for heaven's sakes, they're now suggesting that bees can do that kind of math. 75%. We got it. 75% is coming from just this one guy. That's it, Richie. We just added another 30 years to your life. Good heavens. You're going to have to keep going to 150. Oh, boy. All right. Keep up the good work. So now, what have we got? You cannot have two witnesses that are mitzarif on the basis of 75-25. Why? Because the Torah says, al pi shnei edim. And that has to mean, unless we would know otherwise, equally shnei edim. Now, one aide is going to say, okay, I'll tell you 1% of the data, and then I'll be mitzarif with another aide. I mean, that obviously we would say that's not really shnei edim. So unless we've got 50%, we don't have two edim. And therefore, if Rebbe was not absolutely sure about his opinion that we are not going to be talking about what happened, we're only going to be talking about the signatures, then we wouldn't be able to do that, and we would need another two people because we cannot use the other witnesses' testimony about the Chatima. You see how beautiful that is? So it would mean that Rebbe would say there's two possibilities, but you can't use the same guy for both, because then you're going to be getting into 75% data. Okay, so then if we would not have two people, the imkain, kanafik nechiriva demamona apum rechat sahada, you're going to be taking out 3/4. Nechiriva means 100% minus quarter. So you're going to be taking out 3/4 on the basis of the one witness who's still living. And therefore, since I'm not sure, Rebbe would have to go lechumra in both directions. So in the Mishnah, he'd have to go lechumra, and he'd have to say each one of these signatures requires two witnesses. Of course, they themselves can be the witnesses, but we need two of them. But we'd also have to go lechumra in the case where one of them died. That's what the Chiddush is in what the Gemara told us. No, kishetimtza lomar, Rebbe is sure. He's not misupak. And Rebbe is mifshat pshitele, bein lekula, bein lechumra, it doesn't matter. The Omar reviewed Omar Rabbi. How do we really know that? We know it because Rav Yehuda quotes Rav's name, that if two people are signed on a shtar and one of them died, tzrichim shnayim min hashuk le'aid alav, that you still need two people to testify, but that's only according to the Rabbanan. And this case, here's how we know it, guys. In this case, it turns out that Rebbe is lekula and the Rabbanan are lechumra. Because since, according to Rebbe, we're never talking about the manashe b'shtar, we're only dealing with the shtar kwa shtar. So according to Rebbe, why do I need two other people? I don't understand. I have this guy who's being made. So what's the problem? One other person who can join up and be made on the two signatures. That's all that I need. Which means that Rebbe would be going lechumra in this case, and lekula in this case, and Rabbanan were going lechumra. That proves that Rebbe was not misupak. Rebbe is clear about his psak. Now, halacha l'maisa, the Rambam paskins that in the event that an aide that has been called upon to be confirming his signature, who says it's definitely my signature, but I don't remember the event, the shtar is pasul. Because basically, we're paskening against Rebbe. We're paskening like the Chachomim, that you have to be Mekayim, your witness, your signature, al yedei monash b'shtar. And most of the poskim agree. So that we go according to the Rabbanan over here. And since Rebbe is Lekula, if we don't have two witnesses, we're stuck. Well, what do we do? I don't understand. I mean, you're telling me that if a witness dies, even though you have a shtar, so there's nothing to do? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Because, I mean, that was the whole point, that we made the shtar so that people would be able to do business without needing to have a surviving witness. So what do we do? Elekha trei elechad. What if we don't have anybody who recognizes the other signature? And the one who's alive, he recognizes both, but he can't be made on both, because of the problem of the 75-25 of the data. So what do we do? Rabbi, very simple. Tell you what to do. Let him sign in front of the bezer, in front of witnesses, on a piece of broken pottery. Put your signature on there. Now, the truth is you could put your signature on a piece of paper too, but it would have to be all the way on the top. Because the reason that we don't want you to sign on a piece of paper is because let us imagine a case where Richie signs his name on a piece of paper. Now, his good friend, me, finds the piece of paper with Richie's signature and writes on it, I, Richie Fox, do hereby declare that I owe Matthias Weinberg $2 million, signed Richie Fox. And I bring it to the court, and I say, here we go. I got an IOU from Richie Fox. There goes Richie's yacht. Oh, my gosh. They'll treat him like a Russian oligarch. So be- Oh, gosh. $2 million doesn't buy very much anymore, Rich. Come on, you could sell a basement or a bathroom, you know. So anyway, so in order to avoid those type of friends, we want to make sure that you do not put your signature on something that can be used against you. That's all. This is just practical advice. And therefore, you throw that into the court. Let the dayanim in the court examine that signature. Hold it up to the shtar. Note that the handwriting is precisely the same handwriting. Aha! So then they don't need me, do they? They only need their handwriting expert. All right. So then they were already mekayim my signature. Then I can join up with one other guy to be mekayim the other signature. And then we have no problem. Because then you're not utilizing me for the 50% that you would have if I hadn't signed on the piece of paper. And now this guy can join up with the one from the shuk, the ozo iu, the high, umashadia idach, and then they can testify about the actuality of the other signature matching the aid. However, be careful to sign only on a piece of garbage. Do not sign it on a piece of paper. Because what if some rotten guy finds it? And he writes on top of it whatever the heck he wants to write. And we're going to see there's a Mishnah. Well, it's actually, we're not going to see it anytime immediately, but the Mishnah in Bava Batra says that if somebody brings an IOU with Richie's signature on it, and it says, I, the undersigned, owe the person who's holder $1 million, then he'd be able to collect. I mean, obviously, he couldn't collect from leaned items or things that had been sold to someone else because this is just an IOU. It's not a valid contract, but it's still enough to collect from free property. Actually, the halacha is like the chachamim. Each one is enough to say, this is my ktav yad. We don't need him to be mitzaref for the other person. And which, of course, is a kula in the Mishnah, but in the other case where one of them dies, turns into a chumrah because we're going to need two witnesses in order to be made on the other one. Well, isn't it obvious that yochid v'rabim halacha k'rabim, right? I mean, why do I need to know that halacha is like the chachamim? Of course halacha is like the chachamim. Because ma'a detema halacha k'rabim michavei rov afilu michavei rav. I might have thought that even though generally we hold that, but over here, since it's mistavra taime, this is the way most of the mefarshim learn, as we explained when we were doing the Mishnah, why is it mistavra taime? Because remember, we need to be mekayim shtar, not an event, because we need to be motzi min chatzi mishubadim. So therefore, he makes more sense, kamashmalan that afal pi kein, even though it's a bit clumsy to say like the chachamim, and that equals the same idea of recreating the shtar back in time. It's a clumsy approach, but that nonetheless, this is the way the Rabbanan see the entire tikkun of Kiyum Shtarais, and that we go with that halacha ben lekula ben lechumra. In Kamash Balan, we go according to Chachamim. Now, the next piece was actually got turned into a very strange thing over time, something about Nachum, something like that, I don't know. But it was just a kilkul of this nusach here, which was the siman. Anyway, this is just the siman of the various possibilities of the people that are mentioned. And Omar Lay, so here we're going to have a long story about who said what to whom. So Amalei Rav Chanina Bar Chiel Rav Yehuda, or some say it was Rav Huna Bar Yehuda said to Rav Yehuda, but others say it was Rav Chia Bar Yehuda said to Rav Yehuda. Anyway, but whoever it was, you can remember that with na, nach, na, and so on. So what he said was, but wait, Shmuel, you're telling that Shmuel, Paskin like the Chachamim, but we know for a fact, and it was a very memorable event, that there was a shtar that we saw that had been stamped in Shmuel's bezdin with a henpeck from Shmuel, and it had this weird nusach on it, and this is what it said, that Mida ata Rav Anan Bar Chiya, Vazir achatimot yadeh, because of the fact that Rav Anan Bar Chiya showed up, and he was made about his signature and about another signature of a guy with him, Ve'adecha de'imei, whose name was Rav Chanan Bar Abba. And whereas Rav Chanan Bar Abba came and testified about his signature and another man with him who was identified as Rav Anan Bar Chiya, therefore we resolved to Ashruni V'kaim Nui Kedechazi, we actually certified this and were Mekayim the Shtar as a proper Shtar, as it appears. But that means that Shmuel was only ready to do that because he had two people. Each one of the Edim was made on the other guy. So wait a second, but that's only necessary like Rebbe. And here it's Shmuel himself who says, we don't need for each person to also be made on the other Chatima. So now Shmuel is contradicting himself. Does he or does he not? Paskin like the Chachamim. Omar Lay, Rav Yehuda says, listen, gentlemen, he does paskin like the Chachamim. Now I'll tell you what happened in that particular memorable event that you're trying to bring as a raya against me. And that is that what happened over there was that this shtar was presented by Yitomim. Now remember that the Beis Din is considered to be Avi Yitomim, which means that they have to take extra precautions not to make any possible mistake that someone might make. They have to take all that into consideration. Not that I think that this is true, but someone may make a mistake because of the way I'm putting this and deprive Yitomim of their money. I am responsible to make sure that doesn't happen because of that Shmuel was afraid. I don't think that we need to have both testimonies, but what if the Yitomim one day bring this shtar to collect to another Beis Din and that Beis Din believes that the halacha is like Rebbe, even against the Chachamim in this case, because it was Mistaber Taime, and then they refuse to use the shtar. So I better do a job that is going to protect these Yitomim from any of these Sharpie lawyers. And therefore, I'm going to write a nusach that will be perfectly good, both according to Rebbe and the Chachamim, so that nobody can make them trouble. That's why he went out of his way to mention that each one of the signatories was made both on his own signature and on the other. But he did not really believe that that was necessary. So since it was a shtar diatmi, and Shmuel was nervous about a Beit Din who might be making a mistake somewhere in the future when this shtar might be used, so Shmuel, that he himself holds that obviously, like I told you, says Rebbe, that the halacha is like the Chachomi. And therefore, maybe they will say, Dilma Ika Desvirle Alocha Karebi Michaveiro, Vilo Michaveirov, but this case is different, as we said, because of Mistabra Taime, and Hocha Afilo Michaveirov. Because of that, Shmuel figured, you know what? I better leave room over here to even take care of that possibility. Sovar Avid Ravcha Kiechlomav Sideyatmi, I'll go above and beyond in order to protect these Yitomim. Okay, once we've been talking about Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, it's another mimer of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, also a tremendous chiddush, which is that an aid and a dayan can be mitzarev. So basically, what happened over here is that someone brings a shtar, and the lova in the shtar claims that not only was the shtar mezuyav, but the kiyam of the shtar was mezuyav. So what happened is one of the dayanim on the kiyum testifies to his signature on the kiyum. And one of the witnesses on the shtar testifies to his signature in the shtar itself. And the great chiddush is that you could be mitzarev these two, such that we have two people that are basically being made on the shtar. Now, mitzad hasvara, again, this is the ridiculous, because we don't have any confirmation of anything. We don't have the shtar confirmed, and we don't have the kiyum of the shtar confirmed, because these are two totally different issues, right? And what the only reason that this would work is because, since over here the Taina of Mizuyaf was aimed at both things, the Tikkun, remember, it's all a Tikkun derabbanan of the requirement for Kiyum Shtarais, was relaxed such that you need only to deal with the legal attack against the Shtar, that is to say, the Irur itself. We view the Irur as one issue. You're saying the shtar was forged and the kiyum was forged. I have two witnesses that say that's not the case. That's all. It doesn't matter that you're saying, yeah, but I mean, technically, we're not interested in technically. This is the way that the Rabbanan created the conception of the idea of kiyum shtar. So says the Ritva. Anyway, so Rami Bar Choma, when he heard Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's psak, he said, oh man, that's brilliant. Kamam Alya Hashmaitza. Oh, terrific. Omar Rava, this is brilliant. This is nuts. My Malyut, I understand. This is what you call brilliant? I mean, we've got two people talking about two completely different things, you know, and you're putting them together, and this is brilliant. This is great. Maide Kamasit Sahada, Lokamasit Dayana, Umaide Kamasit Dayana, Lokamasit Sahada. What's with you, man? Each one of these people is talking about something else. One is talking about the Kiyum, and one is talking about the Shtar. You can't put those things together. I, therefore, absolutely think it's ridiculous, and I paskin not like that. Elokiyata Rami Bar Choma Amar, Lo tatzi tinu lani klala dekayo yudachim ishmei deshmol. Haven't I told you, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain who is my brother Yehuda. He always quotes wrong. He says things over from Shmuel. Ridiculous. Pay no attention. The din is that you can certainly not put together two different testimonies, and we will need two witnesses on each of these issues here. Now, Rav Nai, who was the brother of Chiya Bar Ava, came to Sesame Street, Lemizban Shumshume. He simply wanted to buy some sesame. And when he came, he said, I'll tell you what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, an aid and a dayan is mitzarev to be able to be Mekayim Ashtar. So Amemar, who was a grandson of Rami Bar Choma, Amemar says, wow, that's brilliant. Says Rav Ashi to Amemar, it runs in the family, I guess, because your grandpa said that. So you say the same thing? You know, it was 60 years ago that Rava said this is ridiculous. We already rejected this thing. Please, don't bring it up again. So just because Mishum de Kalsa Avua de Imach, just because your maternal grandfather said it was good, so you have to say it's good too? It's too late now, baby. Kvar Parcha Rava. Rava's already thrown this out. I think the Kohen wants to make a L'chaim or something. He doesn't even have a cup. You know the din. If you're Mekabel Adam in your Yadayim, that's not kosher. You're not going to be able to Zarek that Dam. What are you handing out? You know, this is very dangerous, Barnea. People could end up paskening Shalok Halacha because of you. Sheesh. Fine. Now, what happens if the Dayanim themselves are the ones who recognize the Chatima of the witnesses? Now, L'chora, we've got a little bit of a problem because we have a standard Nusach of a Kiyum, which does not seem to fit the case. So let's talk about a more complex case. The more complex case is that there are three Dayanim in the courtroom, two of whom personally recognize the testimony. Okay, but the problem is that in the Kiyum of the Shtar, as we'll see, it has to say, B'motav t'lata havina, we were sitting together in a courtroom of three, and as that, ishtemoda'ana dechatimat yada desa'adihi, it became known through our investigations that this was the correct signature, And therefore, we did the whole thing. Nofik shtara danan kadmana. This shtar came into our courtroom. And the ashida ploni uploni achatimat yadayu. So and so and so and so, the witnesses testified as to the accuracy of this being their signature. And based on that testimony, Ashranui, Vekaimanui, and so on, like the Girsa that we just had in Shmuel's Besdin, right? But you can't say that here, can you? You can't say that these two witnesses came and they testified, because they didn't. So is there a different nuscha? And it gets more complicated in a case where two of the judges did know and the third judge didn't know. So what do we do then? Can those two judges act as the ones who are Mekayim the signature? And then all three of them can turn around and can sign on the Kiyam? But weren't they the Edim, not the Dayanim? I'm so confused. This involves a lot of very curious Dinim. What would we do? So Ravuna Merav says that if you've got three people as judges who are being Yoshev Lekayim et Ashtar, two out of the three are personally Makir, the Chatimot Yedei HaEdim, but one of them is not. So before anybody signs the Nusach of the stamped henpeck, and therefore they're still not on this Shtar. So they're just two out of the three people. So if they haven't signed yet, then they can testify before the one who doesn't know, and they could say, hey, listen, friend, we know, the two of us know, that this is his signature, and we know that this other signature is his signature. Then they can all sit down together and sign. But if the two people who knew the signature signed first, then they can't go along and say that we all know it, because then the whole thing is sheker, because it says in the Kiyam, the three of us signed because we all knew, but that's not true. Two out of the three signed without what was being said being known to the third. Therefore, they have to wait, tell the third one, then they sit down, and in that case, we will actually allow the aide to be the Dayan. So in other words, even though normally you have to give this testimony, this is a big discussion in Rishonim. What it ends up being the normative halacha is that because of the kula in inyonim of Kiyam Ashtar, that we view it as the aid and the Dayan can be the same person. So the two Dayanim who are being made before the third aid, and we'll see this issue, whether you need to have Edus in front of all three. So if they are being made, they are also the Dayanim with him, and therefore it's considered to be Edus and Besdin. Then when they all three sit down, this is only for Kiyam Shtar, we can do this, when they all three sit down, they can all sign. And the Gemara is going to ask on this from the obvious case that I know you're all thinking about, which is the Kiddush HaChodesh problem, where they saw the moon, and now we need to have a different Besdin constituted to get the testimony from the two in front of them, because they can't be the ones who testify and also be the Gemara is going to ask that. But meanwhile, we're saying it's good enough over here. But once they signed it, then it would be a lie, because it says we were three judges together and they weren't. So Misha Chatmu ain't made in front of the Chotem. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Why are you discussing whether they could sign? You're not even allowed to use the stamp before they all know. Because the halacha is, Amr of Papi Mishmeda Rava, by the way, we don't paskin like this, but anyway, for some reason, the Gemara pretends that we do, that Haya Asharta the Dayani. And Asharta is the henpeck, normally called. The Nichta Mikamei the Nachmitzari Achatimat Yadayu. So the secretary was preparing this contract for signature by the Besdin to save time. So while the Edim are testifying in front of the three Dayanim that they know that this is the signature, the secretary is writing on the Shtar the typical Nusach, B'mutav Tlata Havina, etc., etc. If you do that, then they can't sign on it. Because since it was written as a big, fat lie, because while the secretary was writing it, it wasn't even true. You can't then go ahead and sign on it because now it's true. That's called, Moshe Forman, I've been giving Gavi all of your cards. So you better collect them. And just in case you're not really there, but only the big K is there, Gavi better write this one too. So this is called Mirze Kishikra. It looks like a big fat lie. Because someone will say, what? I was there. I saw them writing that. And it wasn't even true. What a bunch of phonies. So you're not allowed to sign on something like that, even though it was true at the time that you signed it. So why are we talking about if one of them had signed before, two of them had signed before? Forget about signed before. Even if it was written before, it's no good. So if the secretary writes it before we got the witness's testimony, it's possible the Mirze Kishikra. So in this case also, if only two of the Dayanim knew, how did they write that three of us were together and we knew? You're right. You're right. We have to change what was said. We shouldn't have said Chatmu. We should say that Achelo Katvu. Then if it hadn't been written yet, the two that do know, the signature can be made in front of the third who does know, and then they can all sign. But if the secretary already wrote the words, then you can't do that because it would be a lie. Anyway, but we see three very important halachas from this now that we've established precisely what it said. A, you see from here that an aide, Nasa Dayan, because over here, the two people who were personally recognizing, they can be witnesses in front of the third guy. And then all three of them can then be the Dayanim in that case. And so that's the simple meaning of the Eid Nasa Dayan over here. As I mentioned to you before, the way that it comes out from the Rishonim is that this is way crazier than that, because over here they're being an Eid and a Dayan at the same time, because we're going to be viewing it, as we'll see, as if they were there at the same time that they are the witnesses. Furthermore, we learn from here that if the Dayanim themselves recognize the signatures, we do not need testimony and to them, because over here we didn't have to testify to them. They only had to testify before the third. Now, this is despite the fact that the standard henpek contains the word ashude bifanenu ploni veploni, that these two guys appeared in court. So, but there weren't two guys that appeared in court. Well, apparently that's not really important because they are better than having two guys appear in court, right? And furthermore, we see from here that if there is any Dayan who doesn't recognize personally, then they need to hear, every one of those Dayanim needs to hear testimony, and they can't rely on the fact that somebody else knows the testimony. In other words, if two out of the three know, the third guy can't say, okay, fine, so the Besen is established that we know. I don't have to know. I'm relying on the fact that the Rove of the Besen knows, and therefore I can simply sign along with the Besen. Gizbemotav tlat avina. Not true. Because in this case, you see that it's only because they were testifying, the two were testifying in front of the third. Okay. Matkidlor Ravashi, I do not believe what you just said. I do not think you can prove all of the above, okay? Yes, I definitely do see from here that Eid Nasa Dayan, okay? I mean, obviously, because they are being Dayanim in exactly the case that they know about. But Dayanim amakirim chatimat yideyat edim, I don't see from here that you can say that if all three Dayanim knew that this was the signature, that you do not need witnesses. What do you mean? Why not? Over here we're saying that we were bemotav tlata and witnesses came before us, but witnesses didn't come before us. Not true. Witnesses did come. Albeit witnesses only came for the third guy, and it was two out of the three Dayanim who were the witnesses, but at least it makes sense to write the standard nusach, which is that so-and-so and so-and-so witnesses came and testified because they did. And I could still write that. I could write the name of the Dayanim as the witnesses that came and testified in front of the third Dayan. But you're claiming that if all three of them know that we don't need witnesses, I don't see how you could prove that. Maybe we still need to be Mekayim, the normative Kiyam Hashtar, which is through Asud B'faneinu. We do need to have witnesses, but this case is different. We have witnesses for that one guy who didn't know. Maybe that's enough. Furthermore, I do not agree with what you said when you said Shema Amina, that we could prove from here conclusively that any Dayan who does not recognize personally the Chatima needs to have witnesses telling him to. Maybe not. Maybe not. But maybe that whole point is, like I just said, the reason that in this case we need to have witnesses to the third guy is because if we didn't have any witnesses, then we couldn't have written the standard Nusach, which is that witnesses came before us, right? But that doesn't mean that every single judge needs to know. Maybe if we needed witnesses for one of the other judges, that would have been enough. And then the third guy could have signed based on the knowledge of the other two judges. And he could still say, B'mot of Tlat Avina, I don't see how you can prove this. But this case is special. The Loko Mekayme Hagadah Klal. If I wouldn't have needed the Dayan HaShlishi to hear the testimony, then I wouldn't have been able to sign anything, you see. So therefore, the two things that you said, not necessarily so. All right, so let me just get back to the thing about Eid Na'aseh Dayan, which you agreed to. You said we can definitely prove Eid Na'aseh Dayan. So Rav Abba was sitting and saying over that Eid Na'aseh Dayan. We see from here Eid Na'aseh Dayan. So Rav Safra asked Rav Abba from the famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. So over there, what does it say? Three people see the new moon, right? And it's nighttime. Since it's nighttime, they can't be Mekayim the Chodesh in the night. So what do? In the morning, they themselves were the Bezdin. So in the morning, two of them get up and they reconstitute a new court by getting two other people who were Ro'oi for Eidus HaChodesh from the Sanhedrin, and they sit down. Now we have three new people. Okay, then the two who now have become witnesses can be made in front of the three, and then the three will say, Mikudash, HaChodesh, Mikudash. Because you need to have three, because you can't leave one judge there to say Mikudash. A single Dayan is not enough. That's why we need the others. Now, Isa Gadaitach Deidna said Dayan. So what's the problem? Let them sit back down, okay? You just said, two of them can be made in front of the third. That's what you said over here with the Kiyam Hashtar. So why can't you do that? Let two of them be made in front of the third, and we will consider them to be Dayanim at the same time that they're Edim. And then they can sit down, join up with the third, and say Mikudash. But no, says the Mishnah, can't do that. Omar Lay, to Rav Safra said, you know, that bothered me for years. Afle didik, actually, I never understood the Mishnah and this sugya, because they seem to contradict each other. If you hold Eid Na'aseh Dayan, then the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah doesn't make any sense. And I asked Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, and he didn't know either. And he went and he asked Rav Huna, and Rav Huna didn't know either. So Rav Huna went to ask Chiya Bar Rav, who didn't know either, but he went to ask his father, who was Rav. Well, Rav knows everything. So Chiya Bar Rav went to ask Rav, and Rav said to them, guys, Leave it. Eidus HaChodesh is d'oraisa. Of course, we don't say that you can be an aid and a dayan simultaneously. Of course not. This whole idea is kiyam shtorais. Kiyam shtorais is d'rabbonim. And therefore, they agreed that in this case, we can allow a person to be both a dayan and an aid simultaneously. Now, just for your general information, this does not mean that because a Dayan saw the event that he can't be a Dayan. That doesn't mean Ein Eid Na'aseh Dayan, that if you were a witness, you cannot be a judge. That's not what it means. It means if you are serving as a witness in the case and testifying, you cannot be a Dayan. However, There are places where Ein Ed Na'aseh Dayan means literally, if you witness the event, you cannot be a judge on the event. But that would only be in cases of nefashot. Why? Because since the Torah was Mechayev the Beis Din to be Vihitzilu Ha'eda, you have to figure out some way that you can get this guy off the hook. If you witnessed him murdering somebody, it's going to be psychologically very difficult for you to get the guy off the hook. Therefore, your posel, if you were also a person who witnessed it, even if you're not going to testify. That's the problem. And another issue is Omer Rav Abba. Omer Rav Huna Omer Rav, if you have three people sitting down to be Mekayim the Shtar, and then someone comes in and says, wait a minute, you can't sign together with that guy. He's a bum. How dare you include him in your Beis Din? So the Korah are al echad mihem. So then, the halacha is like this. If the first two judges that are kosher and that nobody's shouting about haven't yet signed on the kiyum, they can get up, go to a Beis Din, and they can be made that this person, that this individual is claiming is not kosher, they can be made that he is kosher, and then they can all go back, and then they can sign. But once they've already signed, Mishachatmu, they are considered to be personally involved, because it looks very bad that they were going to sit there and sign with a guy who turns out to be a mafioso. So because of that, we cannot accept their testimony. But what are we talking about? What happened? What is the person claiming that he's a bum? I mean, RR the Mai. If it's an RR that he is a burglar, right? Or a thief, a gazlanuta. So they can't be machshir him because it'll still be a question of trey or trey. Two people are saying he's a ganav, and two people are saying he's kosher. We're not going to be able to use him as a dayan. And if it's an RR, the begam mishpacha, they say that he's an evet. And that as an Eved, he's not kosher. Then we don't even need for them to be Meid. And why is it considered to be Nogeya Be'edus? This is not Edut. This is Gilui Milta Be'alma. Because anything that is a matter of going to a private detective agency has nothing to do with Edus. Like we said before, we don't even need Edus. Where something can be found out. That's not called Edus. That's called Gilui Milta Be'alma. This is for Moshe Forman and Gavi, please put that down. Okay, what type of RR or what Gilui Milta Be'alma would mean? Answers the Gemara, it's talking about that, yes, they said he's puzzled because he's a thief. But they're not saying he's not a thief. They're saying we know he did teshuvah. And he gave back what he stole, and he did teshuvah. So then they're not contradicting. We don't have trey or trey. They're bringing additional new testimony, which says he's perfectly kosher to be a dayan. Then they would be believed. And we're saying that they would only be believed if they hadn't already signed. But if they had signed, they may be covering their rear end and saying, no, we knew exactly what we were doing when we were signing. This guy's a big tzaddik. Omer Rebbe Zera, what I'm about to tell you, I learned from Rababa, who was in Barnea's neighborhood, at this point in Akko, which has recently been made, as of yesterday, actually inhabitable, having had 12 of the leading mafioso arrested in Akko, which now makes it almost livable. So it's all very appropriate to today's stuff. So anyway, I heard this from Rababa in Akko. And if it wouldn't have been from the famous Rababa from Akko, I got to tell you, if he hadn't reminded me, I would have completely forgotten it. And this may be two different Rababas. Shlosh sheyashvu lekayem et hashtar. If you have three judges, and one of them dies before they signed, so then they'd have to change the nusach. They'd have to write, we were b'motav tlata, which is a normal way to start, b'motav tlata avina. But they need to add the words v'chad letoi, and one is no longer with us. Because otherwise, if there's only two signatures on a motav tlata, some something looks very strange, and the person who sees it will assume that there were only two judges. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, you don't need to write that. What you could, if it says, shtar danan nefak lekadmana beidina, that this shtar came in front of this court, then you don't need to, because if you use the word this court, then it means that there were three people. Well, not necessarily. I mean, Dilma Beitin Chatsufu. Remember that Shmuel says that two people who done, it's a kosher din. We don't paskin like that. Elashinikra Beitin Chatsuf. So basically, we don't hold of that, but someone may think, well, yeah, they hold of Shmuel. That's why they say, we were in court. They were no court. They thought they were a court, but they're a bunch of chutzpanyaks, and we don't accept the court of two people. So, therefore, Menachem Bar Yitzchak is not going to prove that there were actually three people there. So how could you say that? Well, it's talking about over here. Because, I mean, after all, they might be chatzufim. It's talking about here, says the Gemara. The kasiv bay, what Menachem Bar Yitzchak meant is, we were in the court of Rabbana Ashi. Rabbana Ashi was the best court at that time. So basically, whatever it is that is a real court, it should be mentioned. And that way it means it was absolutely a kosher court. Well, maybe the Rabbana, it says over here, Rabbana Devei Rav Ashi. I mean, maybe the people in Rav Ashi's yeshiva, greater's best, so to speak, maybe they held like Shmuel and that they thought the two people are kosher. No, it would have to write in the henpek, V'omar lona Rabbana Ashi. Rav Ashi told us that we can do this. So obviously Rav Ashi himself is not going to paskin that the halacha is we should take a bezer chatzuf. So therefore, if he wrote that lashon, then it was obviously a kosher henpek without necessarily writing, and one of them is sadly no longer with us. That does not have to be put in there, nor does the musical notation.